hiring process, which I've talked to Reed and Cameron about. Just want to make sure we've got the most accurate information there since we found out that the 76% number and $16 million number is actually 60% and $15 million. So that's kind of the kind of feedback there. I think overall, I think the discussion, the talking points, I think that went relatively well. I know guys are on it. As most of y'all may be aware or not, we've received our first few trades in from Travis's territory, totaling $200,000, so four trades at the minimum. So early on, obviously, but we're still waiting on a number of things to occur with Schwab and NFS getting approval there. But we're still kind of in line with
We're kind of tweaking our approach to Schwab and NFS this time around, just based on the Naperville experience, right?
Yeah, I mean, they did Naperville extremely fast. The 11th week after IC approval, Schwab had it approved. I mean, that was before the third-party report was completed. If you kind of compare it to what it is today, third-party report took about 14 weeks, and we're still waiting on Schwab, but that's already been initiated as well. NFS has been initiated. That was in about mid-December from a client that Brendan knows. And I know Jurea has responded with providing the documentation that they needed, so it's in the works for both of those. But we're still telling the wholesalers to keep pushing advisors to press forward with initiating on both until we get it. It doesn't hurt for us to have, you know, more people reach out to them. So we're still on that.
Got it. Yeah. Jonathan, as far as the Bowman report has been, it's been shared with the parties that need it, correct?
I mean, from our end, yeah, Jeff, you've been able to get that over to your BD. That's how you sent us the Arcadios DDQ, which we'll jump right on. But let me know if anybody else needs anything, and we'll get it done.
So far, so good.
Any updates from the groups that we expect to be selling this? I know there were some folks that were working on HREX 9, trying to get that on board before they leaned in on long run. Any new information there?
Well, for me, Arcadios and Cambridge both are actively engaged in Longmont now, and latest as of this morning, Cambridge is targeting potentially having this through committee next week, and Arcadios is about 2 weeks out, roughly the first week in February.
Great.
And I would just say, talking to Garotti, he's got a large team that typically does the direct deals and can do about 10% of the total rate. So, you know, that could be $3 to $4 million with his group.
Right.
And then I know Trav Conlin has, you know, another $1.5 million, he said, behind what he's already brought in. I'll allow Brendan to cover Mineta Group, but what I'd say is, you know, looking at what we did the last 12 months, and particularly with Naperville Co., and that team have been on top of this one. So I feel really good about the timing. It's just driving the interest with the RDs, which I'd say we have their attention there. I'm sticking with that weekly. The last thing I would note here is we're still trying to work through pipeline reporting with the team and what's really important to capture. Longmont's item number one. So I'll be getting some weekly updates alongside Co. And, you know, coming to these calls, we'll be able to get some hard dollar figures. We're tracking it daily as well.
I can jump in quickly on Mineta. They're a $43 billion RIA out of the Midwest. We had our most recent call with them with the group, and it was the 7th, so a couple weeks ago. We have one of their head diligence folks coming out to Denver on the 17th. We're going to do a solid half day of tours around the local area with the local team. Their bite size is probably in the $5 to $15 million range, but I think that'll be the earliest we'll be able to get indication from them that week at the 16th.
Great. Well, sounds like we're building some momentum with Longmont, so really appreciate the effort there. Anything else on Longmont before we pivot over to HDAP and SCX?
Yeah, I guess I just have one thing, and it's something that I'm going to get with a few of you guys on, is just really kind of standardizing the information that we're getting or requesting from the regions on each of these deals moving forward. You know, it seems like there was some information on prior deals that we didn't necessarily have on this deal. I don't think that's going to slow up our capital raise by any means, but it's something that I think that, you know, we'll, Doug, let's get together with Judge Orr and some others and really kind of put together a list of what we need on every single one of these deals, because it's expected from a sales team out in the field. So I'll put that on our calendars in the next week or two.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
An update on the city portion of the club. So Paul Ferrero had a meeting with the head of alternatives at the private bank the first week of the year. Given kind of the slow uptake, there was a discussion about how do we gin up more interest here. You know, what levers can be pulled to try to get us a bit more traction and a bit more enthusiasm from their clients. We know kind of some areas of sensitivity based on just the calls we've had directly with investors. So they asked us to put forth a kind of revised fee sharing arrangement for the offering that might, you know, something that still works economically for Hines, but also that would also kind of look better to the investor, you know, in terms of kind of cost for participation. So we've run that analysis. It's currently with Alfonso. He needs to give us a green light before we pass those terms back to City. Hopefully what we're working towards, you know, 6 to 9 month extension of the offering period, at a lower commitment amount and, you know, some lower, fees that are frankly more effectively in line with what we've designed for the matching capital where we've seen some interest, right? So, I think we felt pretty early on that the city fee structure was a bit rich. But our approach was, you know, these are their clients, so we were going to defer to their judgment. And throughout the process of marketing the offering, like we, it's pretty clear, like the fee structure is probably market plus one, and in this environment, that really doesn't hunt. So we're looking to reset there. We'll keep this group informed. Again, 6 to 9 month extension, which would take us through the summer. At a fee structure that more closely resembles what we've designed for matching capital. So more to come there. No real action steps right now. We'll get that amended once we've got green light from Alfonso and some feedback from the city team. As far as direct access partners goes, continuing to push forward there. Justin, do you want to provide an update just as it relates to RIA activity, anything worth sharing with the group?
Yeah, look, I'd say it's the same update as last, which a lot of groups have been socialized, you know, call it 30 groups or at some stage of diligence. You know, I think for them it's going to be as the first close go. So I know I've been working with Will and Eliza on that email template, just sort of as we standardize the platform and process, you know, how the first close went, deals in the pipeline. And so I'd envision RA is more of that second and third close. But the momentum's been built. Yeah, I think what we also need to define is pipeline, well, as you said, but a formal launch date. We're still kind of out there working through questions from the due diligence data room and material we sent, but they kind of need that guidepost as they think about capital allocations and budget.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, what we don't have a deal that I think the next thing that we are excited about would be kind of like the first thing we'd want to offer here, right? So thinking about June to September, somewhere in there, identifying an opportunity, you know, going vertical on an opportunity that we think would be a good first deal. I've been hesitant because we, you know, things are kind of, I think if we look at our pipeline report, we have a fair number of deals, live deals on the pipeline, but nothing that I think really profiles well for that first, you know, that first deal. That could change, right? We, you know, we have DSA once a week. But as it stands right now, we're just thinking, you know, we're generally thinking about that timeline because we don't have that kind of first deal earmarked. But we've been pretty clear with the regional teams about kind of, hey, we need to shake the trees here and gin up that first deal so we can have something to work towards for Hines Direct Access Partners. But that's kind of, that's where we are right now.
Yeah. No, the attention's there.
So
it just having more of a guidepost on timing and then more of an indication on what that first deal looks like.
As far as it relates to kind of selling groups for direct access partners, any updates there?
Sean, you want to go?
Yeah, I was able to connect with LPL and LPL and Ozaic last week, and they both pretty much told me the same story, that they're probably going to have to push this into late February, early March for due diligence. Everything's full. DSTs are taking up space. You know, kind of the normal story we get if their pipeline is full. So, looks like they still want to proceed down that route or down that road, obviously. So they're not saying, hey, no, we're not doing this. But I'm just going to have to keep pushing those guys to just actually get this in the queue, get it on the calendar.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. I will say one other thing as it relates to Ozaic, and as many of you know, they will need a large partner like an Ameriprise, like an LPL, to come on board before they sign. And I asked the question if Citi would check that box for them. And so there is a possibility that Citi could check that box if for some reason, we can't get an Ameriprise or an LPL on board before Ozaic, then maybe we can go down the route of Citi. So more to come on that if we need it, but that's in the back pocket potentially.
Appreciate the update. Yeah, that's helpful. I mean, half the battle for us is just kind of knowing what those timelines are. So totally makes sense. Appreciate the update. And anything from your side, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, and I think we've said this before, but Cetera and Ozaic are kind of half-brothers, so to speak, and they communicate on everything. And so that story sounds very familiar. Speaking with them is, again, today, they would like to see the capital raise overall, where it's coming from, a full breakdown, not just within our space, but whether it's RIAs or, you know, international, any dollars that are interested. I think they would like to see where it's coming from, and they also would like to see one of their competitor big firms on board as well first. So we're working through that right now. As you probably saw on your calendar, tomorrow we have an update call with Ameriprise. So we'll be walking them through kind of where things are and where their needs are. And then also with both of those, it was a matter of getting through Atrex 9, which we have. And then same with Ant Partners. I've reached out on multiple calls kind of to get next steps for those guys, whether they need to can they use our due diligence again, or do we need to go through Conway, their preferred third-party group. And so all that's kind of in discussion still right now, so hopefully I'll have more updates on that shortly.
Yeah, we had the Ameriprise thing on my calendar. We're prepared there. Feels like a pretty straightforward discussion. I think we're well engaged there.
Great.
Well, I know you've mentioned this, but what's the approximate dollar amount that has been raised through Citi?
So Citi, we have it's about 50 million. Well, from Citi directly, it's about 25 million in hand. Total, we've got just under 50 million. But there are probably three or four groups within Citi's portal that have told us directly, like, come back to us when you recut the fees. So that's roughly 50. Charles and Bo have, I don't want to speak for them since they're not on the call, but probably another 50 or so between a couple groups. So I think there's a fairly efficient path to 100. You know, one of the things we're going to ask Citi to do is to reduce their minimum commitment from 5 to 2 million, to try to open up the scope of this thing a little bit to a broader group of investors. And also, reduce the minimum net worth down from 100 million. In the past, they've kind of marketed these things as being ultra exclusive for their highest net worth investors, but they've had some bad outcomes. And so those guys are like, no, thanks, but no, I'm not. You know, they had a deal where they lost 70% of invested capital recently. And so those groups are, that client is not as interested right now. And so for our sake, we've got to open this up to a broader group if we're going to be successful. So I think, you know, what we've talked about internally is 200. getting ourselves to 200 between direct access partners and the club. I think that is totally within the realm of possibility based on the traction we've been able to get with Bisse and Torca and some of the Chilean groups. But need things to fall into place. So.
Yeah, that's
I think that's all I had. Doug, did I miss anything? Co, anything else from your side?
More come next meeting time. Hopefully okay. More good news. I mean, once we get on these custodians, things start rolling.
Yeah. Okay. Appreciate the time.